Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And he has so many wonderful things to say to his people who he's in covenant with, who love him, who he loves so much. You know, God loves people that's in agreement, willing and obedient, ready to serve, ready to do what it takes, ready to win souls, ready to be a blessing. He loves his people and he cares about us on every level. From glory to glory. And see, we enter the glories as we will. God presents us with what, with situations, and he helps us, you know, he orders the steps of a good man. I was thinking about marriage earlier, like yesterday. I talked a lot about how my mom and my daddy, how their marriage was a strong dynamic for the when I consider all the people that they ministered to for all those years. And my daddy started his ministry during World War II. I don't know what year it was when he got in that water and submitted to the Lord. You know, he worked the Burma Road. And mama told me it was in China. My sister said it was in India. The Burma Road is both of them anyway. But nevertheless, he was in water. He was running from the Lord, the reason he joined World War II. And he almost drowned, and the Lord was talking to him while he was under the water. When he got out, he went straight to the chaplain and started ministry. And he loved ministry. I want to share that too. Sometimes we run from things we don't understand. And he couldn't see himself being a minister. But once he submitted, he loved it, just like I did. I didn't want to do it either. I didn't run. But I wanted to understand some things first. But I had to obey God, and I love it. I love doing this. I love my life. I love everything that God gave me to do. I love every assignment. I don't run from assignments. I pray for them. I want God to give me more. I want it to be manageable. I want to be able to fulfill what he's doing. And I thank God for every time he gives me somebody to minister to. And sometimes, every now and then, it's somebody personal. The Lord would give me a word for personal people. When I had my shop, he would give me a message, and that message would be for one person, one of my customers. He'd give me a whole message, and I remember he gave me a whole message, and then the anointing came on me to speak it to this lady, and she just soaked it up. So I thank God for that, and whatever I can do to be a blessing, I want to. I told my wife today, I thank God for every opportunity, you know, to be a blessing to people. I want to do. I'm not concerned about how, you know, it's not like I want some kind of reward for it. I know God's going to bless us for it in heaven, but that's really not the reason I do this. I saw people fall in hell. I want to do something about it. I've seen people fall in hell. And every time I learn something, and this was the part I told her also, that every time the Lord teach me something, I want the same thing for everybody. When I find out, you know, David learned about the secret place. Every time I learn about things that seem to be a secret, I mean, it shouldn't be a secret as far as God's concerned. But like I said earlier, just a moment ago, the Lord present us with greater glories to enter into, and it's up to us to enter into it. Well, every time I enter into a new glory, something new to me, receive revelation that was new to me, it went against all of the cold religious theology, but it was true, such as the Holy Spirit. And speaking in tongues was a glory to me. Authority, learning about authority and how it worked, confessing the word by faith was a new glory to me. And it helped enhance my life on greater levels. When the Lord taught me to love people, when he taught me about people, I entered into a new glory. I love it. And it made my life so much better. And I desire that for everybody. That personal relationship. If you lose your keys, the Holy Spirit can show you where. I lost my wallet today. I was at Westwood and Bessemer, and I went to get gas. I didn't have my wallet. I went back to the store. I wasn't on the counter. It was in the parking lot. I parked over it when I came back, and I was so glad. I said, Lord, you were there when I lost it. Help me get it back. And it was under my car where I parked when I came back the second time. I thank God for the Holy Spirit. Anybody walking through the parking lot could have got that wallet, but they didn't see it. Or if they saw it, they couldn't get to it. Now, today, last night, the Lord did something different, a little bit different. He gave me a title for the day. Today's lesson is called Contrast. And see, in God's kingdom, everything is better. But the world system is opposite of God's kingdom. And I want to show you some contrast. And here's a small example. In God's kingdom, if you want to prosper, be generous. That's how you prosper in the kingdom of God. Especially, and start with being generous to the things of God. Be generous with your study time. Be generous. Present yourself a living sacrifice. Be ready to help others. And then sow seeds into strong ministries. And also ministries that's going forward. Help ministries get off the ground. Especially if you're wealthy. That's what you do. I know some kinfolks of my cousins. The Lord blessed them with a restaurant business. And it's doing very well. And it's been doing, the first year they opened, it was doing very well. And I knew something. I said, when the Lord do raise people up that way, it's so that they can be a blessing. And it's not just to make people wealthy. But see, genuine prosperity, when you have a thriving business, if you present that, if you give, it's like Brother Horton said, if you take everything you got and give it to Jesus, he'll bless it and give it back to you. And they were hardworking people. So they did. Sometimes people grow. And God's not going to stop the growth process. At best, he'll guide your steps. He'll order your steps for you. But nevertheless, when you get to a point of abundance, if you really want to serve your purpose, be generous to whatever God guides you to. And he's going to take it all. He will give it back. It'll be a great abundance. If the rich young ruler had done that, more people would have saw how good this principle worked from that point in time. It took people sometimes almost a generation to learn the same principle. But individual people learned it. Now, when the Bible was published and everybody could read it, they read all the stories. And see, there was nobody like the rich young ruler that he got his money the right way. He was a tither. He didn't steal it. The Lord said, Jesus told him, one thing you lack, sell everything you got and give to the poor and come and follow me. Well, if he had done that, then we would have been, more millionaires would have read it and they would be doing it. But some people catch on when they get good. When you get a hold of good information, you can do better. And that's why I'm doing this broadcast, showing you the contrast. Now, they may want you to work hard. Well, they'll say, yeah, you got to work hard and learn this and learn that, and do it our way, and then you'll prosper. Use our bank system, and then you'll prosper. You get a loan, you'll start your business. That's man's way. And then you help those that help you. And then you get all you can from whoever you can, whether they're rich or poor. Now, God's kingdom is different. It's better than theirs. That's a lousy way to do things. In God's kingdom, you work as unto God in all things. You take time and learn. You be a student of life. The first step in being fruitful is you take the clues of life and you perform in your own. I asked the Lord, what is your definition of being fruitful? He said, to prepare yourself to give profit. If you see all, not don't just focus on school. Now you do that too. Get an education. But don't ignore the education that God has given you in nature, in the way. Keep your eyes open to what people are doing. And you'll begin to see, well, that'll work better if they did it God's way. See, whatever you learn, compare it to how God do it and do it God's way. Now when it comes to it, like a profession, like I'm an auto mechanic, some people are surgeons, you have to learn that how things work and how it's done. And even in the construction business, every city has guidelines you got to go by, and you have to learn the code. Now this is very good, because that way when you go buy a house and the plumber comes, he's going to expect it to be according to code. If it's not according to code, then he's going to have to go through a lot of trouble to get it to fix it. But if you do it the way everybody else is doing it, it's much easier to get your house repaired. To those annoying problems that will bother you, you'll get it repaired, right? And then when you sell the house, it'll be in order. If you sell the house and it's out of order, then somebody's got to tear all kind of stuff down and do it the correct way. That's why they have codes that you should go by. And then when your life is over and you and your family sell a house, they won't have a headache. So some things are in place for, and when you have the love of God in you, you live with understanding and you do things in order. God doesn't do things out of order. He does things with order. Now that's on God's side. The world, they do whatever and get and sneak things through, and they don't care what happens after I'm gone. Well, that's not God's way. So when you live with God's order, everybody's going to be blessed. And sometimes the people you give the house to or end up with the house are the people you love, your own children or grandchildren. Don't leave them a headache. So anyway, in the education system of God, you don't just go to school and learn. You learn from everything God did. You let the stars of heaven inspire you. That suggests to you that everything you do is unlimited. Think about it. The anointing that God gives us is unlimited. But if you focus on a small part and that's all you're trying to do, then you, when it's time for you to go to the next glory, you'll say, well, this is the way you do it. And you'll stay in one spot. Whatever you focus on, that's going to be your future. But if you look at God, if you follow Jesus, he's going to take you beyond where you would normally go on your own. And that's where trusting God comes in. But today we're doing contrast. I always talk about trust because that's something that really need to be known. Because people of faith can do, the only people that will really do well with the trust message is people who did well with the faith message. if you can get a person that's skilled in the faith to learn to trust God with everything they got before it's too late, they're going to do some things. That if they already did amazing things under the anointing, they're going to go to a much greater level in every category. So this is why I'm saying, if you contrast the purposes and intents of God, you're going to do better. Now, some people happen to see, they can see themselves doing greater things, while some people limit themselves. And that's the main difference. What are you watching? What are you focusing on? If you're looking at what God already did and you see how it works, you know, you pick a peach today, you eat it, you plant the seed. You didn't waste the seed, you planted it. And you take time and nurture it, it's going to be a peach tree. And it really don't take that much time to do something like that. Once you get it started, you keep it on a pot till it gets so big, then you plant it where you want it, protect it, and it'll grow, and you'll get free peaches the rest of your life. Or you can just go to the store and buy another bag and throw them in the garbage. So prosperity, God give you prosperity so many ways. It's up to you how you handle it. Now, looking to the Lord is the way to do this. If you live in his strength, you're going to have less waste and more profit. If you do it his way, if you learn his ways and do them, you're going to have less waste and more profit. Even the peach tree analogy I just gave it works for everything. The Lord told me one time, if you want to make great change in your life, you have to make a few changes in what you do every day. Now, and you have to stick to God's plan. And God's plan is always, one thing about God's assignments that he give us, they have unlimited potential. And if you understand that and you cooperate, he'll blow your mind. So, but if you start thinking not just positive, but if you think unlimited, when it's time for you to do things that you normally would chicken out at, you'll go on to the next glory. And some great men, I said some a few days ago, how there are certain men that of God, Baptist brothers, that they taught the Holy Spirit like a Baptist would teach, but they are men of integrity. Now, even my dad, I told my dad about the Holy Spirit. He said, well, he didn't say it was wrong. He said, don't take all that. Well, he was unfamiliar with it. He was not lying to me this is why I say he was not being deceptive. But the way he was taught, and the points of view that he made, that was made to him, and the way that people who receive the Holy Spirit used to act, it seemed like they made it seem unnecessary. Because people would hear the drums at the Holiness Church, and they speak in tongues, But and they were looked upon with a ridicule. And they had church every day, and they didn't seem to prosper. So people thought that they were superstitious. But see, if you're around a circle of people who receive the Holy Spirit and they are guided by the Holy Spirit, and they take time with people, they walk in the ways of Jesus, people will see greater wisdom. And sometimes people, they would get people healed, but then the way that they act into modern mind is, wow. They were just like in the first place, it looked like they were drunk with wine, but they were not. Peter had to explain to them. They were in the overwhelming presence of God, and they spoke with new tongues. But more than that, what the religious community hated was that they were very wise. But see, when you come out of a culture and if you have the Holy Spirit and you're not trained to operate in God's ways, you can seem very wild to people. And then here you go to people that go to seminary. They love people too. They ministering. They do it man's way. They could seem much more educated. So you're going to get a mindset from appearance. But what if you see what I did? When I went to a Pentecostal church I met a very wise Pentecostal woman, Mom Powell. And I learned that you can have a relationship with the Lord and he could teach you himself. And I had so many questions and I asked the Lord and he answered. And every time I entered into a new glory, I saw things different. It was not what I expected because the world runs different. See, like I said earlier, we prosper by being generous. We lay our life down to the Lord. We're dead to sin. We don't try to, we don't live in strife. We live without it. and when you live without strife, you're automatically not going to have a lot of health problems. But when you add strife and envy in your life, you have everything wrong. The contrast, the living, Jesus healed us by his stripes. We're healed. Of course he did. We were healed by his stripes. But loving people, having a healthy heart, I mean, a clean spirit, living with a clean spirit, with good intentions towards other people, understanding others, seeking to be a blessing, it will add years to your life by itself. It will cause you not to get sick in the first place, in many cases. And then the bad habits that cause sickness, we can stop that because we don't need props and crutches. You don't have to eat the last bite of food all the time. You don't have to smoke cigarettes to feel good. You don't have to drink wine to feel good. You feel good from within. So when you live in the glories of the Lord, and you can live a more intelligent life. So when you're paying attention to the Lord, you can incorporate what you're learning into what you're doing. And the contrast is better. See, Israel was God. He multiplied Israel in Egypt. Then he took them out of Egypt with the Exodus, and it was time for them to go in their own land. So all they had to do is stay in the love of God. If they would have stayed in the love of God, they would not have had to fight as much. In Exodus, Exodus 23 and 28, the Lord was going to drive out the Canaanites with hornets. They wouldn't have had to do as much fight. The Lord was going to drive them out for them. Let's look at it. Exodus 23, 28. Here it is. All right. I started verse 23. All right, let's start at verse 22. I'm just trying to save time. He's talking about the, let me see. Okay, let's start at verse 20. He said, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be as an enemy to thine enemies and an adversary to thine adversaries. This is very important. This is where covenant come in. Learn to live in agreement with God, because the contrast is positive when you do. Verse 23, for mine angels shall go before thee and bring thee into the land of the Amorites and the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and Jebusites, and I will cut them off. And that's good, isn't it? Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee, and there shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. Now watch this. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, the Hittite from before thee. It looks like they wouldn't have had to do much fighting, doesn't it? Verse 29 says, I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate. He could have. I will not drive them out before thee in 1 year, or else the land become desolate and the beast of the field multiply against you. See, God is wisdom. If you stick with the plan, the only way to do that is to follow him. If you think in your own mind that's not a good idea because you don't see far ahead, there's so many things people miss out on in their thought process. When they don't follow God, they do it their way and they mess everything up. And sometimes people pray for God to do it the wrong way, because they don't know what the way you'd get the big job done. You do it God's way. You're the man with the authority, and he's got all the good sense. He knows what. No, I wouldn't have even thought of verse 29. I wouldn't have thought of that. Not in my lifetime anyway. I will not drive them from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate. That don't even compute with me. I never seen a land where there's no people and animals are all over the place. But God knows about it. I didn't know about it. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against you. Then in verse 30, he said, by little and little, I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the Sea of the Philistines, from the desert unto the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. And again he said, thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their God. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. So, when the Lord warns you, you got to mix just as much faith with the warning of God, which is wisdom, as you do for the blessings, which is also his wisdom. Very important. So when people take it upon themselves, well, I got this, I'll do it this way. And the Lord said, don't do that. He give you another way to do it. The moment you set your foot towards doing it your way, the glory stops. And that's the problem. Now let's look at another contrast. You know, following God has so many reasons for it. See, you got to stay on schedule. When God tells you to do something, it's important to stay on schedule. Other people are going to be involved. And sometimes they're in place. And it's time for you to start right now to be in sync with the plan of God. All right? You can't see why he say, just do what he say and it works. And for years, I tried to tell many pastors this. I understood it. They would have had to trust God to do what I was saying. Here I am, somebody they hardly knew. God gave them a reason to trust me. I'll talk about that in another broadcast, so I'm going to go on to the next contrast. But sometimes God have people in place. An example, he just gave me this one. When I did the radio, he told me to do the radio broadcast in 2005. He knew that I didn't have the money and I was going to try to start a business, which was very important that I did. I started gearing up for it. I didn't just start like Tommy said, do it. I could have, but I didn't know that. He worked with me, all right? But the week before I went on the radio broadcast, I started the radio broadcast. He gave me this was a Saturday night. He gave me a dream that I was at a cleaner's and that was one empty hook coming, and I wanted to hang the garment, and it was just one. And when the hook got in front of me, the only empty hook for a very long time, he got in front of me, I was going to hang the garment. And then I woke up as I was trying to hang it, and I said, "Lord, what was that about?" He said, "Obedience must match time, or it turns into disobedience." So that Monday, I was at the radio station signing the contract, and I did a broadcast, and I took it to the radio station. That next Sunday, I was on the air, and that was June of 2006. The same Sunday, I went to the church. I visited the church. Pastor confirmed that dream I had in the message, and then that very next week, I'm on the radio. Now, I got the 3 o'clock spot. That's what God wanted me to have. And if you live in Bessemer, or if you know of anything about Bessemer, you probably heard of Reverend Walker. And Reverend Walker, he was a wonderful man of God, Baptist preacher in Bessemer. And his broadcast lasts from 2 to 3. Mine lasted from 3 to 3:15. So I came on right after he went off. And most of the time, if not every time, when he would preach, I would say something very similar about the Holy Ghost. And I didn't even realize it until I listened to the broadcast. And right after I went on the radio, somebody went on right after me. And they said things that if they would have got the 3 o'clock spot, and it would have interrupted God's plan. Some people are self-willed, and they do things that way, and they interrupt what God is doing. Not that they're bad people, they just didn't know. So it's very important to be where you're supposed to be. The anointing has a jurisdiction. So you got to be where you need to be in order to do what you got to do. Now, the next contrast I want to observe, when you're not, you got to kick fear out of your life. Not that you didn't, I'm just saying that because it's important. When you look at, let's see, Numbers 13. I had two other scriptures about the hornets. The other one was Deuteronomy 7:20 and Joshua 24:12. But I'm not going to those. I'm going to save time. We're going to just look at Numbers. Numbers chapter 13, verse 25. See, the Lord spake to Moses, saying, "Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I gave unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them." Okay, so we're going to skip the part about all the names, and we're going to jump all the way down here to verse 25. Now watch this. It's very important to remember the character of God and what God did in the past before you open your mouth. And that's true in the case of these guys, because they went by what they saw instead of what God said. Verse 25, "And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, 'We came unto the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it, big old grapes that took two men to carry.'" Of course it did. Verse 28, Nevertheless, the people be strong. And this is where they messed up. Verse 28, "Nevertheless, the people be strong and that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there." And they were giants, of course they were. Verse 29, "And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And Caleb saw something, because verse 30 said, see, he saw the fear in their voice and heard it and saw the fear on the people. Of course he did. Verse 30, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to search it. It is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. Now watch this. And all the people that we saw in it were men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so were we in their sight. So they're too big to fight. Now they just saw God do all these miracles. But they forgot that when they focused. If you see, if the devil changed your focus, he changed everything. He changed your future with it. If he changed your focus, he changed you. So that's why when the angel, when the sons of God married the daughters of men, they had giants. They could have been little bitty people, and sometimes they were. But they were giants to, because giants don't have covenant. They are not God's pure creation. They are hybrids. They are weapons against the covenant. Every giant is a weapon against the covenant of God. It's an abomination. It's a crossbreed between angels, evil angels at that, and men, and women, humans. Okay. They have no covenant, so they gotta produce fear. See, Satan always have to produce fear because he has no covenant. Don't forget. And now watch what the people did. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried and wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron and the whole congregation, and said to them, "Wish to God we had died in the land of Egypt, or with God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt?" And they said one to another, "Let us make a captain, and let us return to Egypt." That's what doubt does. Fear and doubt, that's the voice of fear and doubt. No covenants in it. No reason to speak it. Verse 5. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, tore their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel.